Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Okay, it's summertime, and the best part about summer is that watermelon is in season, and you're with your partner. It's your first summer together, so it's your first watermelon together, and he's like, hey, babe, I'll chop that up for you. So he goes to chop it up, and you notice that his style is to turn it into a cube, and to do that, he cuts off huge chunks of the delicious red part to get the crust off. So he's wasting so much watermelon. But you say, that's a weird thing to come at someone for, so I'm not going to say anything. And then you just become the watermelon cutter in the relationship. Just subtly, just don't let him cut the watermelon because he wastes a pound of watermelon every time. And then years go by. You're very, very happy about most things, except for this watermelon thing. And then you have kids. And your kid is 10 years old. He's a little wunderkind in the kitchen. And your husband's like, oh, I'll teach you how to do a watermelon. And you say, no, you shall not pass this down to our children. Are you being a jerk? Is this cool? Let's talk about it.
This is Same Day Shipping, the show where we geek out about real love and fake relationships.
I'm Colin.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Patrick.
Ooh, oh, this hits me so close to home.
It does.
Which one are you? Which one are you?
I am the one who knows how to do the thing right.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa.
Same.
Yeah,
same.
Exactly, Patrick. Same. This is something I'm working on, okay?
No, same. Well, because also, like, when in the moment, right, you're, like, seeing them do this, and you're like, okay, if I tell them you're being so wasteful,
yeah,
then I seem like a bitch.
You seem like a total fucking micromanaging asshole, which, let's be honest, that's who we are.
That is the truth. Yeah. The truth is you are a micromanaged asshole, but it's hard, especially because, like, and watermelon, because I was chopping one this morning, that's where I thought of this. But, like, watermelon is not that expensive. So, like, the waste part, like, you're wasting something tasty.
It's the principle.
But it's 100% principle. It's like, because, you know, a huge watermelon's like $6 or whatever. It's like, even though they're wasting a lot of watermelon, it's not like they're, you know, they're not throwing $20 in the trash. But it is wasteful, and it'll make your trash heavier and stinkier. Like, it's, and
no,
it's not
I know
the right
what you,
way
no,
to do
it's,
it.
It's I'm, the, it seriously is the principle of it. Like, it also just, and I know this is a huge jump, but I'm going to tell you, this is why it's hard to be in a relationship with me. Okay. So there's a series of jumps happen in my head too when I see a person chop a watermelon like this.
Yep.
One, your parents were not strict enough with you. Two, it's when dinner, like, you were not taught to just eat whatever was on your plate to be polite at someone's house. Like, your parents cooked you, like, special, your own private meal.
Yeah.
And that means that, like, you are an entitled person. And, like, an entitled person, I can't be in that relationship. We have to break up because you cut a watermelon like that.
Wow.
I'm a little confused about just the cubing of the watermelon. He's making one big cube.
That's one. There's multiple styles of watermelon cutting.
Yeah.
Right? There's different ways you can do it.
Okay.
One strategy is to get flat sides so that you can cube most easily. And then you're also going to have uniform cubes, which I think goes to what Kelly is saying in terms of somebody who is being wasteful in order.
Like, so then they're like, sorry, are they like little bite-sized cubes you're talking about?
Yeah, you could make bite-sized. That's one style. It is the most. There's ways to even do that, to get the rind off that aren't that wasteful. But the thing I was describing is just a very wasteful way to make sure that you have little cubes.
Like, he's just throwing away the D-shaped pieces.
Yeah. Whereas some people like to eat it on the rind. I personally prefer to, like, right now in my fridge is mostly on the, it's all cute, not all, half of it, whatever. But it's cubed because that's how I like to eat it versus, like, eating it off the rind. But that means I take time and energy to make sure that I'm cutting the rind out.
Right.
Not just chopping the sides off of a watermelon and throwing a bunch of good, sweet stuff in the trash.
Yeah.
So, okay, for this, then, you see him do the cube technique, and you never say anything because you're like, I don't want to jump on him about this because who really cares about this? But then it starts to eat away at you?
I think it's like you've kind of resigned yourself that, like, when you bring home a watermelon, you're just going to cut it. You're just going to prep it yourself. It's just like, yeah. I think you just, like, subtly take control away from him on it for 10 years. And it just doesn't come up because you didn't make, I'm sure other things came up because clearly there's a, like Kelly called, there's a personality, there's a conflict here.
Mm-hmm.
You're different. But the watermelon, you
different
never said
doesn't
anything.
Mean conflict, though, necessarily.
No, but you're different in a way that's, like, not going to exist together well. I also, can I just add what probably also happens here?
Yes.
Okay, this is another situation. You've just taken out the trash. Mm-hmm. And that watermelon has been sitting for a while,
mm-hmm.
right? So he had an opportunity to cut up this watermelon in his very wasteful way
yep.
and put the rinds on an already full trash. And then take it out, but he doesn't do that. So what happens is you take out the trash. It's a fresh bag.
Ugh.
And he puts that fucking juicy fucking watermelon shit in the bottom of the trash. So that way it just gets piled on and piled on and piled on. And then get, like, hot. The trash gets hot.
Oh, yeah, it does.
And he doesn't think to take out the, like, he's not like, oh, like, the trash just keeps getting hot and grosser and super stinky. And you're just, like, in your mind, you're like, okay, I'm just, like, not going to say anything. I'll see if he knows, A, the reason why it smells so bad. Because he's been wasteful and he threw, like, just actual hot fruit in the trash. So I'm not going to say anything. And B, we're going to see if he decides to take it out. The trash is a tower. The trash is a tower. He's not going to take it out. And then so you have to lug it out. And then he doesn't even notice. He doesn't even notice that you do it. And then you put out a new thing and he's like marinating chicken. And then he like puts the fucking bag of chicken juice in the bottom of the fresh trash again. And then you're just like, what? This, I just took it out.
And then there's a knock at the door. And then he starts frying up some fish?
Yes, he fries up fish.
Okay.
The door, there's a knock on the door.
What is happening at the door, Colin?
You open the door. It is a UPS delivery person, and they have an enormous box of Funko Pop.
No! Oh, God. This is a literal nightmare. Yeah.
I mean, that is truly alarming.
Patrick wasn't fully with us until this part.
No, the garbage thing is I can understand the watermelon thing if it's just like a fruit that for like whatever reason the dude never had to cut up before and was just like, this is probably how this works, and didn't ask, and like, you know,
he
just
didn't
like
understand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like me with a jackfruit.
Oh yeah,
it's like everyone with a jackfruit.
Those things are fucking insane.
Or like an artichoke.
Yeah. Well, but like Google it. But yes, I hear what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, I used to have trouble figuring out how to not wastefully cut a pineapple, but guess what? I watched one video and now I can do it in seconds.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Have you seen that thing where you just like peel the pieces of the pineapple? I don't even eat pineapple and fun. I wish I did. You like cut the top off? I don't know. Someone did it on TikTok and then someone else said, does this work? And did it does this work TikTok? And it did. But maybe it's all tricks.
Right.
We need you essentially cut the head off
mm-hmm.
and then you can use the little pokey parts.
They're like little pull tabs.
As pull tabs.
Yeah.
I think your pineapple has to be very ripe for that to work.
Oh, that makes sense.
So the way I do it is the classic, like slice off the sides and then you line up where the holes are and then you cut the divots out like in a line mm-hmm. so that it ends up looking like a spiral and then just chop, chop, chop and it's done.
Which is very cool.
But I will try that. Next time I have a very ripe pineapple, I will try the pull tab thing. That sounds cool.
Yeah. And I feel like it would feel festive.
Yeah. That'd be cute. It'd be fun. That being said, this man is not doing that. He's not doing any. This is the other thing. This man is not resourceful. And I really hate helpless people.
I know you do.
So I will say I have a strategy for the decade down the line. You have your little one. So husband is doing his thing. Boom, boom, boom. Cut it into squares. Chops it into little bite-sized cubes and stuff like that. And then you come in behind him and you're like, and also, we take these leftover rinds and we cut them this way and you eat them off the rind first before you enjoy your cube. Because that's how we don't waste. And then husband's like, what? And then you just gaslight his ass to be like, yeah, that's how we've always done watermelon when we cut it cube-wise. And he's like, yeah.
Oh my God, it's almost worth marrying and having a kid with this person for the victory in that moment.
Exactly. You just trick them into eating the rest of the watermelon. It's like, yeah, you taught me this, remember? Like 10 years ago. I don't cut it.
Yeah, you said you have to do it, otherwise it's really wasteful, remember?
Yeah. Well, what, you think we just threw like a whole hot fruit into the trash?
Also, I've never associated watermelon with a hot temperature, ever.
In the summer, it gets warm. And
well, yeah, in the summer, everything
right
gets warm.
About trash watermelon. Now,
well, this is a composting situation. He should be composting that.
Well, you know, you gotta either. This right. guy's not setting up home compost.
This man is not composting. We need to set like actionable goals here. This
if
guy.
If you want apartment composting, like that's on you. Like clearly, you know who you married.
Mm-hmm. And I think with watermelon, because it's really just water and sugar, I think it breaks down faster than like a citrus. Mm-hmm. Like if you had like in a citrus in the trash would not give the same like stench, wetness, and hotness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's truly like the wetness of the fruit dictates the hotness of the fruit in the trash. Because like you put an apricot in there, you're fine. Oh my God. Dry, dry fruit.
Yep.
But like I feel like same situation with like a pineapple or like any kind of melon really, like a honeydew. Ooh.
Yeah.
Very bad. Mm-hmm. Very bad.
I mean, like, regardless of, like, here's the thing. If you got trash, you got to put it in the trash can. Mm-hmm. Also, I feel the same way. Like, when the trash stinks, you got to take it out of the house. Like,
you got to.
Oh, yeah.
You
like,
got
just,
to. Go.
Because I admit I am, like, the, like, there is a right and wrong way to do things. And, like, if you can put stinky things on top of a full trash can, sometimes you can't, like, try to if you can. But when the house stinks because of the trash, take the fucking trash outside.
Take out the source of the smell.
Yeah.
It's very easy.
And then probably, maybe, clean your trash can.
Yeah, no, you got it.
Oh, yeah.
If it's so stinky, if you've had wet hot fruit in there, you need to just spray it with some, like, honestly, I would maybe even break out the bleach for this situation if it was, like, a week and a half.
Yeah.
Of this wet hot fruit.
Like an all-purpose Clorox spray, man. That's under your
just
sink.
Spray it down.
It's fucking 5 feet from your trash can anyway.
Yeah. And don't save that for a special occasion.
No, like, it's for everything.
You should be cleaning the garbage can regularly.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? And here's another thing. I know that this might be a little bit scary and kind of gross, but like, you know, you might be like, oh my gosh, I don't have a space to clean out my trash can. here's what you do. Spray, 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 spray. Get it drenched in this Clorox. Now, you might need to go into your bathroom, mm-hmm. fill that shit up, blast it hot water, and then dump it out. Now you might be thinking, oh no, now I'm scared that like my tub is dirty. Guess what you can do? You can clean your tub.
Oh!
Your tub. I mean, honestly, so even if someone's like, but I don't have a place to clean my trash. You do.
You do. It's called a bathtub.
Mm-hmm. You do.
Even in a stand-up shower, you have room for your,
you have room.
For your trash.
Yeah. Man, how are we going to get to this?
This is tough.
I don't even remember what our fucking topic is.
Here's the one thing. Like, okay, I get it. Like, okay, the spray is good.
Wait, hold on. But I do want to hear your transition. But might it be more fun to make Colin, who has forgotten what the topic is, try to transition us to it?
Yes.
Of course.
First, you save him, Ryan. But first, let's have Colin try.
Oh, Lord. I love you guys. Okay. You know what? Even if, let's say you don't want to clean your bathtub that week. All you got to do is use the spray and then dry it out with paper towel.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do. That's
Did
perfect.
I do
paper.
It?
Yeah. I was doing the same direction.
Good. I didn't know he knew what it was.
I knew it was one of two things because we're recording multiple today. Yeah.
You did good. Paper ships.
Woo! Paper ships.
Because this is the week paper Mario comes out.
Yay!
Paper Mario!
Is this a new Switch imagining of the Paper Mario? What's the steez?
It is a new Switch game. I don't know if it's like calling it a reimagining might not be right. It is just like a sequel in the long-running Paper Mario franchise. But it looks like it's going to be kind of business as usual as far as Paper Mario is concerned.
Okay.
So it's just another Paper Mario game.
Just another Paper Mario. Yeah.
Very fun.
Cool.
And Paper Mario, so this is the one where he like runs around and kind of builds his world and slides into cracks and like uses all the advantages of being made out of paper.
Yes, that. And it's also like a turn-based RPG series. So, you know, instead of being like action-based, like most Mario games are, where you're like running around and jumping on Goomba's heads, you're more like just telling Mario, you know, how to attack. He's swinging a hammer a lot of times.
Okay.
What? And they're usually like cute and funny, all that.
Hold on. He's made of paper and he's swinging a hammer?
Also made of paper.
Oh.
So a
you
useless
said that.
Piece of paper?
Yeah, he's waving around.
He should have scissors.
But... Does he fight against scissors?
Sometimes. So, like, there are real world objects that are like the boss characters in this game. Mm-hmm. So, like, they've shown off a couple of ones, like a roll of tape, like a roll of Scotch tape that you fight.
All right,
I'm into
That's
that.
One tape. Is a set of colored pencils.
Okay. That's cute. That's cute.
Is there ever a bone folder?
I don't know.
All right, a bone folder is still better than a paper hammer. That's not gonna mess anything up.
Yeah, what about that? What about like some rubber cement?
Boom! Mm.
That'll jack you up.
Oh, but if you can't leave it out too long, it will dry. You gotta put it back in.
I do like the imagery of having like a rubber cement sword, and the sheath is like the jar of rubber cement that you have to screw it back into.
That's pretty good.
Oh, that was so good, guys. Why are we better than Nintendo?
You have to rotate the stick to like unscrew the cap.
Yeah, you do like a quick little wrist turn and whip it out.
That's good.
Yeah, that's
man, remember
fun.
How jacked up that stuff smelled?
I love that smell.
I liked rubber cement, but I was always a Mod Podge girl.
I like Mod Podge.
So I prefer that. That smell is more like, reminds me of crafting and fills my heart.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But rubber cement can get you high.
It can.
That's,
I was kind of scared of it when
that's,
I was a kid.
That's like DARE propaganda.
Oh, is that true? Can rubber cement not get you high?
No, I mean, it can. I guess like any, you know, fume that cuts off oxygen to your brain.
It can get you more high than Elmer's.
Mm. Okay.
Elmer's does jack shit. I snuffed on that shit all day. And did nothing.
I used to chop up glue sticks for breakfast.
Put them on my cornflakes.
Man, do you remember the kids that would eat glue?
Yeah. Do you remember the kids who would put it all over their hands and then let it dry and then peel
it off? I was that kid.
That's a cool move. I like that move.
I was that kid.
I only liked it if you get it off in one piece, then I respected you. But if you were pulling off little pieces.
No, it had to be one piece and then it would be like a glove.
Uh-huh.
My friend Michael and I think in like first or second grade, had hot glue competitions where we would put it on our fingers and see who could like leave it on longer and react less.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
Did you like burn yourself to the point where you don't have nerves? Like, can you do cool stuff with fire?
No. I mean, I can do cool stuff with fire, but I'm highly likely I will burn myself.
That's one of my favorite moves in like TV and movies when somebody like has a lighter or a candle and just like hovers their hand over it.
Oh yeah, like they don't.
It means
give
they're
a
bad
fuck.
In the 80s.
Yeah,
it means
yeah,
you're bad
yeah.
in the 80s, or you have even, nerve damage,
or you're the vampire Lestat, like that also.
Mm. Oh yeah,
did you guys
you're Lestat.
Did you guys watch The Great? I think it's FX. Right?
No, but I want to see it.
It's good, yeah. But I heard there it's really is good. Like the bad guy, like the tough bad guy, holding his hand over a candle scene, definitely takes place in that one.
Yeah, you got to do it. Cool.
You got to do it, man. Let everybody know who's boss. God is on my side.
Yeah, and then you also have to take shots and then flip the tequila over and hit it hard on the counter and then cut to a bunch of them.
Like, why isn't anyone clearing your table? That's what
I don't know. It's a lot. Order a dozen. That would be fucking insane.
Do you have to tell the server, like, no, we're going to cut to... We're going to cut back to the table later.
We have a time lapse coming, so
let's work together.
Oh man.
So I have a paper ship I would like to share.
Give it to us.
But I need it's a journey that I want to go on and I need your help at the end.
Okay.
Have you guys seen the Disney animated short Paper Man?
No.
I don't think so.
No, I haven't.
So it's a black and white cartoon, and it is a man who's like on his way to work, and he's got like this big stack of papers, and it's like windy on the train platform, and so like his papers are like kind of getting away from him, and one of them floats and hits a woman like right in the face, and he like pulls it off like sort of in a panic. Like, oh my God. It turns out she like is interested in him and like they flirt a little bit, but then they both like she goes on her train, he goes on her train, presumably never to see each other again. Then he's like working at his boring job with stacks of papers, just like processing them. It's unclear what he does, but it is definitely boring. And he sees that she works in the building like right across the street from him and she's in some kind of meeting, right? So he starts folding paper airplanes from the papers at his desk and throwing them like across the street so he can try to like get her attention, right? And he's throwing just like paper airplanes after paper airplanes after paper airplanes, and they all fall short. He's trying to do this all day. I think it's fired. It's unclear. Like there's no dialogue in the short. So like whatever actually happens is partially up to your imagination. So like at the end of the workday, the woman like finds the piece of paper that like had originally flown into her face, mm-hmm. because it has like a little lipstick mark on it. And it just sort of like gently glides to a location. And so like that's how she gets to this location. Whereas the paper man, who originally was throwing all of these paper airplanes trying to get her attention, he gets swarmed by this barrage of paper airplanes that he threw out, and they basically push him to the same location, and then they like meet and like have a cute little date. It's a cool Aww. Cartoon.
Actually, I think I've seen it. Yeah. Now that you've mentioned it, I remember seeing it. And it is cute.
It is cute. But like, you know, they're definitely having like a meet cute moment. And this is probably not a relationship that's going to last, right? So
Ouch.
Like,
yeah, wait, what based on? Paper.
It's based on paper.
He's clearly very into littering. And he has no job.
Oh, well, wow.
Loser.
Right. So I, you know, they go on a couple dates, it doesn't work out.
Why not?
It just doesn't. It just doesn't, Colin.
Colin, I gave you two reasons.
It seems like Patrick took us on this journey to make us ship these people.
Let me tell you about this romance story, this fable. Right. By the way, it doesn't work out.
It doesn't work out.
Also, when you said he gets swarmed, I thought you were going to be like, by a bunch of bees. And
and they make him the leader.
He becomes the Bee King of New York.
Oh, my God.
And he meets this little bee played by Jerry Seinfeld.
So he has no job. He's just broken up. He moves back to his hometown, right?
Okay.
He's living with his mom and his dad. And so look, this is the paper man. He's going to take up his old mantle as the paper boy from the 1980s video game.
Wait,
paper
it's
boy.
The same guy?
I've decided... It's the same guy.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Wait, does he time jump? Backwards?
How?
Is he a boy again?
No.
No, he's just like, you know, how like when you go back to your childhood home and everyone starts calling you by your old nickname.
Right. So he basically, it becomes, what's that movie? Beautiful Girls? Doesn't he have a paper route in Beautiful Girls? Or somebody does.
All I remember is the weird Natalie Portman stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it sticks out.
But no, I'm with you, Patrick. He reclaims his childhood job as paperboy.
Right. And so he's riding his bike, he's throwing and this is where I need to have someone to pair him with as he is like paperboy in his hometown. And like, is that an old like 80s arcade video game character? Is he dating Q-Bert?
What about like a? Is there
a history of?
Sorry, go ahead, Mogi. My bad.
I just want to say I don't. I'm just gonna put out there. I don't love a human Q-Bert love affair.
Right. We're not.
I know
pixels.
You say that, but I'm gonna push for Q-Bert. Okay. So here's what happens. So he's like, you call me paperboy, fine, I'll be a damn paperboy. He starts being paperboy around the neighborhood. He's throwing, and this is going to mirror his old relationship. He's throwing newspapers, and Q-Bert has just moved in down the street.
Puts on some lipstick
on that tube of his. He throws the newspaper and it through the air, and then like a hot dog going into a fist, we'll say.
The old saying.
The roll of newspaper goes up Q-Bert's tube. Mm-hmm. And the lipstick kind of circles the newspaper.
Oh, wow.
He spits it out.
Yeah.
And with such force that it lands back in paper boy / man's hand. And he's like, oh, wow, this is just like, I mean, I only have the meet cute.
Right.
I don't have anything
well, and
else.
It's somehow through the power of his like cube dexterity, he's used the lipstick stain to write his phone number on the paper and then shoots
cube dexterity.
It back.
That's actually pretty good. The phone number is pretty smooth, though.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I like it. It's Q-Bert then. Paper man. Paper man becomes paper boy, and he dates Q-Bert. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't work out.
Oh Jesus!
What?
Oh my God, Patrick.
So he has to move back to the city.
Oh wow! We're all destined to be alone.
Colin, do you have a paper ship?
I do. I want to go back into Gilmore Girls territory, if you guys will indulge me.
We'll allow it.
Thank you. So the first part of my paper ship is Paris Geller, right? This is like college days, Yale, Paris, where she's still like, you know, working really hard and gets stressed out and all that, but is starting to open up a little bit. She's starting to find herself. And, you know, honestly, her personality is, once she finds herself, she turns out to not be that great of a person. But that's just editorializing.
And honestly, that's just what Yale does to you, apparently,
based
on that show. Everyone becomes a worse person after going to Yale.
But she's like working really hard and she's up against a deadline. She's writing this paper And she's getting really stressed out and starting to, like, feel old Paris of days of yore coming back in, you know? And then all of a sudden, this little friendly voice, like, pops up. It's like, beep-doop. Hey, Paris, I see that you're making a bibliography. You know, I can help you with that if you want.
Is this a paperclip?
This is the MS Word. This is Clippy, the MS Word paperclip.
Oh, Jesus.
Come on!
Okay, so...
What's wrong with that?
So no. Clippy is helping her.
Yes, because here's the thing. Because Paris, like, she... initially, like, no, don't, like, I don't accept help. I don't need help from a paperclip, okay? And Clippy's like, hey, yeah, no worries. Just click on the little X down by my feet, and I'll be gone. But then he comes up later, and she's like, Clippy, I told you, I don't need any help. And this goes on for a while, and eventually, like, her paper's due in, like, an hour. She's been up all night, and she's sitting there, and she's just like, Clippy, are you there? And bee-doo, right there for her, without question. He's like, hey, yeah, whatever you need. Do you want me to, like, auto-format some of this? I don't really even remember what Clippy was able to do.
He would mostly just tell you how to cut a watermelon.
But okay. He would scream it at you in front of a 10-year-old.
Well, he swallowed it for 10 years. Okay, I do like, I'm now seeing this as like a prototypical or a prototype. I might be using that word incorrectly. It's like her, the movie Her. That's what I'm feeling from this. Like, I think that Paris would be resistant at first and then allow herself to be vulnerable with Clippy in a way that she doesn't allow herself to be vulnerable with humans.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see Clippy being satisfied with just Paris or with Paris forever.
So this
might be like Patrick's story where it's like, it doesn't last forever.
Clippy
well,
is
eventually
an
she updates to a
fiend.
Well, and eventually Paris would update to a different operating system.
Yeah, here's the thing. She switches over to Mac.
Wow.
But she keeps a little, like a PC, like one of those like Windows laptops in a drawer next to her working computer. And when she gets lonely, she opens it up and opens up Word and has like a really old system loaded on it so she can talk to her old friend Clippy.
It kind of sounds like it's a secret. It's like when someone has a secret iPad that they can like cheat on their wife with like cam girls on it.
And she just asks for help with formatting.
Yeah.
And just masturbates while he tells her how to do it.
Oh my God.
He tells her how to masturbate.
It's not enough for him.
No.
Mm.
She's getting what she wants out of this.
Yeah.
What? But Clippy, I mean, so people are very quick to talk shit on Clippy, right? People find him annoying. They cuss at him when he pops up trying to help and stuff like that. And I feel like just truly being seen for like helpful being who wants to like do a good job and like Paris coming around to that, like that's gonna give Clippy some fulfillment, don't you think?
Yeah, but I don't think Paris needs him in the way he needs to be needed, because she is like, she wasn't she like valedictorian at Children? She's very good and smart and self-motivated,
but
and
that's
probably
why.
Likes to figure shit out herself. She doesn't actually want you to poke in and say, were you trying to do this? Because
well,
she's trying to do something else.
But you know
maybe
what happens?
She's like, Clippy, I do need... Yeah, yeah.
So she, like... You know how you said that everyone, like, curses at Clippy, but Clippy doesn't mind?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, usually, you know, with Paris, she's so, like, rude and abrasive that, like, people just are like, okay, fine, I won't deal with you.
Mm-hmm.
But Clippy stays, and she's like, I've never had someone stay... after I've been such a bitch.
Aw. Yeah. No, really. Yeah, like,
all right.
I think there's something there, guys. Maybe, you know, nothing lasts.
Look, it's not
going
to last.
Nothing does.
Nothing does.
So,
Who else has got a paper ship?
I do. Okay, so I have some OTPs in the... I took paper to newspaper immediately.
Oh,
so
my God.
I have some, like, OTPs in the newspaper world. Two, one of them is Hildy and Walter from His Girl Friday.
Snaps,
and then,
girl.
Which I think I've talked about before. Yeah. And then another is Lois and Superman.
Yes.
Or really Lois and Clark, but Superman kind of comes with a deal. So, like, those... But I was thinking... I've talked about those a lot. What are some people that need ships that work at a newspaper? So I thought of one immediately because I was thinking about Lois and Clark and how much I love them. And I thought about Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
He is a good photographer. He works hard. He has no powers, but he's like, he's in the mix.
Okay.
And then I was like, so I wanted him to be with somebody who... was like in his field, but could like respect what he does on his own. And maybe again, I'm trying to map it to Lois and Clark because I like that so much. But I think what it is he is nominated for a Pulitzer.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. Whoa, huge.
Photography.
Yeah. And he goes to, there's a ceremony. I don't know if there's really a ceremony for Pulitzers, but there is in this world.
Uh-huh.
And the ceremony is actually, it's not in Metropolis, it's in New York City.
I love
City.
Where this is going.
And he's really excited, but he sees this competition, and like there's some really beautiful photographs, like photographs that I don't even know how you would get such access and such angles to mm-hmm. such private,
like so
person.
So high angles that are so high,
so high,
right.
And it's almost like the subject of the pictures knew exactly where the camera was, not mm-hmm. posed, but just like perfect composition, like. Jimmy's like, there's no way. He's been taking pictures of Superman and all of the other Metropolis people for so long. Like, he's done this so much. And he's like, how do you get such an intimate view into a hero while they're heroing? Like, he's mm-hmm. kind of thrown. And he loses to Peter Whoa. Parker.
Well, I mean, it wasn't going to last.
Yeah, he's. Yeah,
I fucking hate you guys.
He'll always be nominated for a Pulitzer.
He's never gonna win
he loses
one. Yeah.
Peter Parker, but he doesn't feel bad. But
oh,
but
man.
Peter Parker is be okay. So he accepts his award, and then he's being interviewed. Like, you know, they do sort of like the Oscars. They do like a little red carpet, little like behind the scenes,
as we all know.
this weird this. World of the Pulitzers is very interesting.
Yes, how it is. So and. Jimmy's there, but he's like kind of in the corner. He's kind of sad, but he's also, you know, he's like, I lost to the best competitor. And Peter Parker is like, you know, thank you. I don't usually show up for events like this. That's not really my vibe. But it's the Pulitzers. You got to show up.
Yeah.
But
yeah. It's the event of the century.
Yeah.
That's right.
He says, you know, and I really appreciate this. And I am, of course, proud of this work. But I got to say, Jimmy's pictures really told a story from a human perspective in a way that I don't know that anyone has ever captured before. And so I just want to make sure that everyone checks out those photos. Like, yes, the Spider-Man this photo of Spider-Man is what won me the Pulitzer, but I want you guys to really, really look at what the Daily Planet is doing. It's really
so he's paying
Jimmy
it forward.
Jimmy is fucking floored. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. And Jimmy is floored. He has no, he's like, I can't believe this. In fact, some of the cameras turn away from Peter Parker to
Whoa.
Jimmy.
What?
Oh,
yes! And he's like, oh my God.
Wait, can one of the cameras do like a double take at Jimmy?
Yes. He goes, what? And so then Peter just like starts to walk away, and he like claps Jimmy on the shoulder, and it's like, enjoy your moment, bud, and walks away.
Now, I liked it up until Jimmy that part. That's condescending as shit.
Well, it was a trick, Colin, because as he was patting him on the shoulder, he was slipping his hotel room key into Jimmy Olsen's pocket.
Colin's turned back around.
I love it again.
And so they have a night of bliss in New York City, and then they'll send each other photographs. But
whoa,
Peter is very supportive of Jimmy's work, and very like, and every time Jimmy tries to like compliment him or ask him like, how do you get such good shots, Peter's defers, kind of like blows it off.
Oh, he doesn't.
Maybe he like turns around and is like,
secret.
But let's talk about your work. Wow.
Yes.
How'd you get that picture of?
How'd you get that picture of that of Spider-Man?
I mean, Superman.
But honestly, after their night together, Jimmy knows, but he's going to keep secret because he's very good at keeping a secret.
He's very good at keeping a secret.
Sure. Because when Peter comes, it blasts him to the wall with an immovable web. So that's so a...
So he's like splatted into the wall and it like face on the wall and like it looks like he's wearing a diaper, but it's...
Oh my God. I thought mine was kind of sweet.
It's very sweet, Ryan.
Hey, thanks.
Kelly,
do you have a paper ship?
Yeah, I do. I thought of paper. I thought of books.
Okay.
And one of my favorite ships, I think I have mentioned it before, but it is like an OTP of mine, so I will mention it. I don't know if I have actually. Yeah, I have, because I think I've screamed about this book. The Guinevere Deception by Kirsten White. In this world, magic. So it's like a retelling of Guinevere and Lancelot, but wherein Guinevere has actual agency. So this is in a world in which magic has been banned, and King Arthur is the king of the court, and Guinevere has been sent there to be his bride, and she is not Guinevere. She says she's Guinevere, but she's not, and it's like a mystery of like who she is and blah blah blah. And so in the story, it's like, it's a very YA thing that I really love of a love triangle where like King Arthur, so Arthur represents, you know, like she describes his love or his attention as feeling like the sun. And he's kind of like, he's very noble and like nothing will mean more to him than his people, kind of to the detriment of her relationship with him. Mm-hmm. So she's like, okay, like and that's the thing that Kirsten White is so good at doing, which is like writing all these characters with so many flaws and so many good things about them. So like his, you know, he's like too good of a person where it's like, she will never, if it ever came to like her, his people or her, he's going to choose his people, but she can't help but love him for caring so much about his people. Then on the other hand is Mordred, who is everywhere that King Arthur is light, he is dark. He's like this mysterious, like kind of like rakish guy. He like they accidentally like touch hands and there's like literal sparks and she's like, whoa, okay. Like,
whoa,
I feel like this general like warm, happy love when I think of King Arthur, but like when I have never felt anything like what I feel when I touch you. And he sees her, she's able to do magic, and he catches her doing magic. And so she's like, shit, I'm fucked. Because like King Arthur has banned magic. Mm-hmm. And he's like, that's like amazing. Like, you are so powerful. Like, you are so, like, so like what the people of Camelot are to King Arthur, she is to Mordred. So it's like very, like you have like on the one hand, this like, kind of aloof, but like very nice and wonderful guy. And then you also have this guy who's like obsessed with her. Mm-hmm. So of course I ship her and Mordred because like he's scary and obsessive. But that's my ship. And I actually also really like, I like the love triangle of them because also it's like, I like that one isn't just evil, you know, like King Arthur isn't evil for not putting her above his people. So it's like, I don't know. I really recommend reading the book. I think the second book in the series is coming out in November, I want to say. But truly, really, really, really recommend this book, The Guinevere Deception.
Hell yeah.
Mordred and Guinevere. Hot, 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 hot.
Ooh.
I ship them.
Nice.
Colin, do we have any questions from Twitter?
We have an email from a listener named Martha.
If you would like to have your questions read and answered on the show, you could email us at shippledipshow@gmail.com or tweet at us at shippledips.
So the questions. Dear Same Day Shipping, long time, first time. I noticed you didn't have any questions from Twitter this week. Here are two of mine. This came in a little while ago, so it doesn't apply to this week or last week. But one. What are your favorite recent ships from media off the beaten path? Looking for characters with good chemistry to watch in lockdown.
Ooh.
Off the beaten path.
Oh, and then Martha has a recommendation. Kenzo and Sarah from Giri Haiji on Netflix, which I'm not familiar with that property, but I would say, I guess that's off the beaten path because I don't know. And then question number two is just simply OT3s, question mark.
OT3?
Does that mean like thruples?
Like, do you have any? Yeah. Yeah, like thruple, one true thruples. Okay. Off the beaten path, gosh, I'm trying to think like what I've been watching. I've been doing a lot of like returns to my fundamentals. Like I'm watching X-Files again right now because you can only go so long without returning to X-Files. Yeah.
I just watched two things. Mm-hmm. One is, again, I'm doing a return as well. So I'm doing The Americans right now. It's very slow because I just watch it while I'm doing dishes. So, but I mean them with anyone. And then I did admit this to Ryan. I will admit this here.
I'm so excited.
I think something's wrong, you guys. I think something's wrong.
I can't believe you're about to admit this.
I think that Philip is especially hot when he's like wearing a janky wig and like overalls and he's like sneaking around and he's like up to no good. And he's patchy fake facial hair.
I don't know why this is not news to me, whether or not you've told me this in confidence off mic or you've said it on the show before, but I definitely know this about you, Kelly. It's not news at all.
Something's wrong. It truly is because, like, I like that he's up to no good, and I like knowing in my heart that he's handsomer than what everyone else is seeing.
Wait, you like having that secret?
Yeah.
Okay.
You think, like, honestly, you're charmed by him now. You don't even know how hot he really is. How hot he is for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I got you, girl.
There's also a part, like, I think it might have even been in. Okay, this is really fucked up. This is really fucked up. And I have not mentioned this part to Ryan either. But I think it was, like, back in season one or two, where he's with his daughter at the mall, and like this guy hits on his daughter and he's like, "Ugh, what the fuck?"
Mm-hmm.
And then later we cut to that guy like cooking out in his backyard and he is wearing this Phillip is wearing the stringiest fucking wig. He sneaks in, he looks like he's experienced an experimental life, let's just say.
Mm-hmm.
Comes in and just beats the shit out of this guy and like stabs his hand with the poker. And I was like, oh my God. Kelly! I know.
Yeah.
I do think that's one of the tensions of that show, right?
The hotness.
The hotness. And
the violence.
Even though, because the storyline is not hotness.
No.
In any, like, conventional way.
And here's another thing that I will say about this show and about a lot of like espionage type shows, where like I felt this way with Homeland or like any of those kinds of shows where it's like a lot of like political intrigue and all that. Half the time I do not know what they're supposed to be doing. I know that they have to meet a guy at a place, but I don't know what the goal is. But here's the thing. I don't care because, like, they'll explain it in a second or, like, we'll be moving on to something else. And, like, this FBI agent needs to really just figure out how much he's romancing this woman. But, like, I'm like, okay, I know they have to get to the drop. I don't know what's going to happen there or what they're trying to do or what it like, I know you that it's KGB versus US and that's it. I don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what's happening, like, ever. But I don't care.
I don't think you're supposed to really know what's happening. I don't think it's that kind of show.
Yeah.
It's definitely dense. Like, it takes me a very... I still have not finished the show one time through. Like, it's taking me years because I like to take long breaks and then do little sprints of like, okay, gotta get like 8 episodes done and then wait 8 months.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just right now at the part where Carrie Russell like went over to Martha's house and was like, tell me about like my husband basically. And I was like, man, this is sad.
Mm.
Anyway.
I mean, yeah, it's a pretty sad show. Off the beaten path recommendation for me, and I think there's paths that this is on the beaten path, but
yeah,
it's a little. There's a show on Netflix called The Society. It had one season. There's a second season coming up. It's essentially about a bunch of high school students like go on a overnight out of town, and when they come back, they're on a bus. They come back on the bus, and when they come back, all the adults, there are no people left in the town. All the parents are gone.
Scary.
So they essentially have to like form a society, and of course, but it's very like
Lord of the Flies.
You know, there's guns. It's Lord of the Flies, but it's like they're at their homes, so they don't have to like the things they need. Yes, they need to come up with how to do it, but like shelter is not an issue because they all have houses. So they can create a society that it looks a lot more like our own, but some of their worst instincts come to bear. But there's this really like adorable football player guy named Grizz, who falls in love with this kid named Sam. It's very cute. So there's a ship in it for you. There's other ships too, but that's the best one is Sam and Grizz.
Okay.
But yeah, The Society, I think you may not have seen it. Whereas The Americans, probably someone's recommended it to you before because it's good.
Yeah, yeah.
I think for me, off the beaten path, and again, just like Ryan said, this is certainly on some people's paths. But just this last week, in the latest issue of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, a ship that I have been pulling for a long time, Raphael and Alopex, actually kissed. So they are, I don't know if they're together necessarily, but they're at the very least acknowledging the fact that they have feelings for each other. And it's okay if a mutant turtle kisses a mutant fox. So I was so happy and excited to see them like...
Aww.
The issues since 100, so like they, you know, there was like a big build up to a story that had been going on for years and years and years, and then issues 101 through 105 are really just like a cool down, and like the turtles get to grieve everything that they've lost, and they feel all these feelings, and it's so fucking good.
Nice.
I really loved it.
Aww. Congratulations, Patrick. I know you've been waiting for that ship to set sail for a very long time.
And thank you. I will accept congratulations on that.
As far as off the... Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Kyle.
Oh, I was going to say, as far as off the beaten path, I said nothing really comes to mind. But depending on what your path is, you know, who knows. But I do have, like, an OT3. It's friendship, it's companionship, it's, like... cohorts and like partners in crime, like all that sort of thing. But then also I'm gonna apply it because if any mix match of those three hooked up, I would not be upset about it at all. They're all gorgeous. But my OT3, it would be Faye, Jet, and Spike from Cowboy Bebop.
Oh
yeah,
like they're just, you know, and like obviously they get on each other's nerves and they break up and get back together, and it's very tumultuous, but it's always fun, and there is like a lighthearted ride or die kind of love
to everything
they do. Hot, hot, hot.
Does anyone else have an OT3?
Oh, no.
All right. Hey, guys.
Two relationships.
Two relationships.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.